broke my fall. Yeah, hey, praise the Lord. And God's best blessed us. It could have been a lot worse. I thought it was a lot worse, but God saw fit to. All these folks make fun of fat people. I had plenty of padding. Amen. And honestly, I you can hear me bouncing on that video. I hit like every step we had back there. I hit them all and bounced. Yeah, that's what it sounded like. You hear gaboing, gaboing. Yeah, you appreciate smart Alex. Amen. Praise the Lord. I'm not going to preach real long. I know if y'all say, well, you say that every Sunday, but I mean it this week. But I do want to preach to you real quick. I wasn't going to preach at all, and Miss Alicia can back me up on this. I got a text from a preacher this morning, Brother Steve Spurlock, and simply put in his text, he said, "Preacher, I felt led to tell you this. Preach this morning." Just out of the blue. He wants you to preach this morning. So I told Alicia, I said, now what do you do? You know, but we're going to try our best. These boys done a great job this morning. I am so proud of these young men. It takes guts to get up and do what they're doing. And I'm proud of them. And I want them to know I'm proud of them. I love them. And I want to say this about all three of them. They all three got ready on a moment's notice yesterday. I texted them all. I don't know if I'm going to be preaching tonight. I want all of y'all to be ready. And they were, all of them said, "Yes, sir, we'll be ready." And I appreciate that. And I thank God for them. And I wanted them to know that I appreciate it. There was a time when I'd have been in a panic if I thought I couldn't make it about trying to get somebody up here to preach. And now I don't have to panic. I just got to try to figure out which one of the three knotheads to pick. Amen. But so I just pick them all. Amen. So this morning you had Mo, Mary, and Curly preaching. And thank God for them. Matthew chapter 7, verse 13 and 14. The Bible says, Jesus talking, says, "Enter ye in at the straight gate, for wide is the gate, and broad is the way that leadeth to destruction. And many there be which go in thereat." Because, and that gives you a reason. He says, you know, this is a fact. And he said, I want you to enter at the straight gate, because there's a wide gate. And many go that way, and it goes to destruction. He says, because straight is the gate, and narrow is the way which leadeth unto life. And a very sad statement, he says, and few there be that find it. Now, if you'll bear witness this morning, I'm eventually going to preach to you on guess where I'm going now. All right? Now, you know where I'm going later, but guess where I'm going now is the message this morning. But I want to tell you that everybody is going somewhere. Amen? Everybody's on a journey. Everybody's on a destination. You are either saved by the blood of Jesus Christ and on your way to heaven, or you are lost and on your way to hell. But I promise you, you are going somewhere. Amen. You're going to heaven or you're going to hell. That's it. Well, what about the place of the Catholics? Wait, purgatory. Trust me, once you get to purgatory, you're going to find out that's just code word for hell. Amen. You're not going to make it. So Matthew here, Jesus tells us that there's an option that you have to choose between two places, two goals, two gates, or two ways, and I'll get you to one place. The Bible says the path that leads to destruction is broad because the road to hell is not always long. Me and Tucker was talking about this morning. Now, you notice what Jesus said. He says, broad is the gate. Now, what does broad mean? Wide. Don't say long is the gate, but broad. Why? Because the road to hell is overcrowded. But it's not always a long road. See, some people go to hell and it takes them years to get there. I've seen folks up in age and then pass away lost. It took them years to get to hell. Some people go to hell and it's just a matter of days, it seems. They die very early in life and you know they died lost. You know, you've seen 20, I've seen teenagers, you know, young folks die lost. Their road to hell wasn't very long, but it was very broad. And we have to learn that. See, broad tells us that it's stretched from side to side. Like Isaiah 5:14 says, hell hath enlarged herself. And ironically, he says, and opened her mouth. When you go to a dentist or a doctor and they want to stick something in your mouth, what's the first thing they tell you to do? Open wide. See that? Open wide. Why? Because hell is enlarging itself without measure. and their glory, and their multitude, and their pomp. And he that rejoiceth shall descend into it. See, the road to hell is not lonely. I promise you, if you go to hell, you'll have plenty of company on your way there, but no company once you get there. The trip's crowded. The destination's lonely. So you'll get there. Isaiah's talking about that multitude. Jesus says, many there be which go in thereat. See, folks, everybody's going somewhere. There's more people, it's sad to say, but more people are going to hell than are going to heaven. So we see, many there be. Yes, you are going somewhere. You might mock and make fun or scoff or even doubt. Say things like, I'll do it later, I've still got plenty of time, or I'm young, I want to live my life. But you're not promised a long road. You're only promised a broad one. So you'll be careful. And now I've ruined it for you the rest of your life, because now you know it's the truth. See, you're on a collision course with eternity. And there's a course of this world. And if you walk according to that course, you're going to go where this world's going. And according to the prince of the power of the air, the spirit that now worketh in the children of disobedience. See, not only are you on a journey, but your sin is on a journey. You realize your sin is going somewhere? If you're lost or saved, your sin's going somewhere. The Bible says that some men's sin are open beforehand, going before to judgment. Some of us, our sin's already been judged. It's already been to the judgment, and it was judged. Now, when did that happen? That happened at Calvary, if you're saved. It's when sin was placed on the Lord Jesus Christ, and he was judged. He became what? What did he become? Sin. And he was judged, and the wrath of God was upon him. So your sin, my sin, if you're saved, has already been to the judgment. See, but there's another crowd. It says, and some men, they follow after. So it's a scary thought to think that your sin is chasing you. We talk about people a lot of times, they're chasing this, they're chasing that. Well, the truth of the matter is, they are being pursued by their own sin. And you're going to stand in judgment. And then your sin is going to show up. You can't say, like Brother Gary's going to be able to say, when I stand before Jesus Christ and I can plead the blood, and God will say, yes, I see that. Your sins have been judged. So then the only thing left to judge then is my service. I won't have to give an account of my sin. Jesus already has. But see, if you're lost, your sin will follow after you. And God's going to say, well, what about that one? And what about that one? What about that one? What about that time? And you have to give an account, because somebody has to pay that debt. See, and Jesus Christ paid my sin debt. And if you don't accept Jesus Christ's payment, you have to pay it. I want you to imagine, you'll have to suffer everything that Christ suffered. Every pain. He said, I thirst, like the rich man in hell. He was, my God, why hast thou forsaken me? You'll be screaming that one day. God, why have you turned your back on me? When the truth of the matter is, it was you turned your back on God. Amen. So even your sins are going somewhere. You won't have to pay that debt. So I'm going to quickly tell you, hopefully you know this, but now if you know me for a while, I'm not going to hell. I can look at some of you this morning, and I can confidently say that you're not going to hell. Now, I'll be honest with you, and I love you from the bottom of my heart. Some of you, I wonder. I wonder about some of you. And it pains me to preach to you every day for years and sit and honestly say that some of the folks that come in and out of this church, service after service, I worry about their soul. I do. You may say, well, Brother Gary, you shouldn't do that. Well, somebody's got to worry about you. Right? And why do you think our parents and our grandparents spent so much time worrying about us? Because we weren't worried about ourselves. Right? How many of you remember a time when your mom and dad would say, Listen, be careful of that crowd. Why? Because we weren't worried about the crowd, but Mom and Dad was. Right? You ever hear that? You know, don't go over there. I used to hate when my dad would say things to me like, be home by. I'm like, Dad. And he still knew me like that today if I'd let him. You know, he said, if we go off North Carolina or somewhere, he'll say, call me when you get there. Now, when I was 16, 17 years old, I didn't want to go to somebody's house. I got to call my dad, tell him I'm here. But man, now it's different. But he was watching out. He was worried about the things I didn't know about. I can remember many times Dad saying things like, and Mom too, you know, she'd say, listen, there's nothing good you can get into after midnight. I didn't like it, but it was the truth. But they worried about things. I worry about things. So listen, I just want to give you a few personal things that I'm going to say I'm on my way. I'm going somewhere, and I'm going to tell you where I'm going now. You know where I'm going in a million years. I don't know everything about heaven, but I know I'm going to be there. Someone says, can you tell me everything that's going to be in heaven? No, but I can tell you at least a couple. One of them's me. Amen. And no steps. Amen. But listen, I was that sheep going astray, but the Savior, I love this song, when he reached down his hand for me. Y'all know that song? You know, once my soul was astray from the heavenly way, I was wretched and vile as could be. Then my Savior in love give me peace from above when he reached down his hand for me. I'm glad that one day Jesus found me as I was going astray and saved my soul from hell. Amen. You heard some great preaching this morning about how God reached down, abundant life, and God saves you, and God does things, and about prayer, and about being in God's Word, about being that city set on a hill. We ought to be that way this morning. I thank God that I wasn't always like that, but I think I am now. And ladies and gentlemen, I am going somewhere, but I'm also going somewhere right now. I want to tell you that, number one. The first place I want to go to this morning, you find over Genesis 22, verse 5, Abraham says to Isaac, says those fellows that go with him and Isaac, he says, I want you to bide here with the ass, and I and the lad, we're going to go over yonder. And that's how you know that Abraham was from West Virginia, somehow or another. He says, we're going to go over yonder and worship and come again unto you. Listen, I'm going to go worship, amen. I'm trying my best to go to worship the Lord every day of my life. I want to go somewhere where I can get with God and just say, God, I want to thank you. See, worship is purposed. Worship is intense. Adrian Rogers, love to hear him preach. He said this, he said, worship is personal and intimate. I don't have to be in a crowd to worship the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. I don't have to have God do something for me, have God touch me, have God answer a prayer for me to say, well, God, you're still worthy. Worship's not praise. Now, praise is incorporated into worship, but you can worship and God not answer that prayer for you. You can worship God. I can say right now, I'm hurting from my head to my toe, but you know what? God's still worthy of every ounce of worship that I can muster up to Him because He has saved my soul from hell, because I'm not lost. I'm not dying. I'm not in the mess of this world's in. I have peace that passes all understanding. I do have an abundant supply. I am the city set on a hill. I've seen the light. I thank God this morning. I can worship God because God has always been there with me. And God's been good to me. God's blessed me. And I said, well, what if God don't give you nothing else? I'm still saved. I'm still going to heaven. My name's still written down. God's still good. I got breath to breathe. I've got shoes on my feet, clothes on my back. I'm telling you this morning, I'm going to go worship God today. Amen. Amen. Worship is recognition and adoration. Worship is admiration. God, you are holy. Amen. God, you're perfect. God, you are never changing. God, you're never ending. God, you're all seeing. And God, thank God you are mine. I'm going to go worship. Number two. I don't know if I'm going to go worship, but I'm going to find me some place today. I'm going to go get behind the veil. Hello. Y'all didn't catch that like I caught it. You know, there was a time in your life you couldn't get behind the veil. You were separated from the Holy of Holies. You were separated from the ark. And something had to take place for you to be able to go into that place. Amen. Y'all know, if you know your Bible, when Jesus was crucified, what happened? The veil in the temple was then what? Rent in twain, right? From where to where? From top to bottom, if I remember right. Y'all correct me if I'm wrong. But God got in that thing. God said, you know what? You know what was on the other side of the veil back in Isaiah's day? He said, I saw the Lord in the temple and his train filled it, right? He's talking about being where the presence of God is. Amen. So when I tell you I'm going behind the veil, I'm telling you I'm getting where God's at. Amen. I want to get in his presence. When Jesus done that, he gave us access to the throne of God. But Hebrews, Paul says, I can now come boldly before the throne of grace. Listen to me this morning. I am going to where the glory is. Amen. I'm going to get where God's presence is. I'm going beyond. And listen, don't get stuck on a few things in your Christian life. You can get some of this stuff and never get to where God will have you be with his presence. You can get stuck in the provision of God. Thank God God gives for us. Thank God God provides for us. Thank God God gives us all this stuff. We talked about it in worship a minute ago. But I want to get beyond God's provision. I want to get beyond praise. I want to get beyond the point in my life where I say, God, thank you for this. God, thank you for that. I want to worship him. And I want to get beyond praise. I want to get beyond the protection of God. I want to be in his presence. Amen. See, I heard Adrian Rogers too said this. He said, you can get stuck on eternal security if you're not careful and never get to the presence. Hello? Some of you are saved as saved can be, but you're not in his presence. Hello? You're not behind the veil. You're satisfied where you are. You're happy just to be saved. Listen, I'm a weird person. I was never happy just to be anything. If I was going to do it, I want to be good at it. Amen. I always tried to be the best at everything. I won't give you a quarter for somebody that won't try their best. Amen. And if you're going to dig a ditch, dig a good one. Amen. Listen, if you're going to pick up garbage, pick it up right. Do a good job with it. Don't halfway do it. Do a good job. I never wanted just to get by. And I don't want to just be saved. I want to go behind the veil. I'd like to live where God lives. Amen. I'm going to get beyond just being saved. So I said, well, you know what? I'm on my way to heaven. That's good enough for me. That might be good enough for you, but I want more. I want, as Brother Isaiah preached, I want that abundant life. Like Brother Hunter said, I want to be that city. You know what? I don't want to just be a light fixture and not have a bulb. You know what? We got some nice lights in here. They're probably about 400 years old, but we got some nice lights in here. Now, if you take the bulbs out of them, they're useless. See, some of us, we're a beautiful fixture, but we ain't got no bulb. Well, my English teachers would kill me for all this. I ain't got those, wouldn't they? Don't be satisfied to just be. God didn't save you for you just to be saved. So you have a calling. Not everybody's going to be called to preach. Not everybody can be. I get that. I know that. I'm a Bible reader. But everybody can be a witness. Everybody can be a Bible studier. Hello. Everybody can be a prayer warrior. You know what it takes to be a prayer warrior? First, you know what the first ingredient of a prayer warrior is? Pray. You can pray. Now, does life come at you? Yes, it does. Man, life stinks. It hits you faster than a set of steps and a slab of concrete. But you got to just keep going. I don't want to just be. I want to be behind the veil. And see, in this church, this world needs a church that'll go beyond the veil. See, I wrote some things down. So with Jesus, you can have rest, but you got to get where his presence is. Come unto me, all you labor and heavy laden, he said. I'll give you rest, but the first thing you have to do is come unto him. You got to get where Jesus is. See, a lot of times we have turmoil and life and troubles and all this. You know why? A lot of the times, it's because we're not behind the veil. That's where the peace is. That's where the help is. Number three. I'm going to finish. Paul told Timothy, I have fought a good fight. Paul's my kind of man. I like a manly man that's just not you know, not some like sissified dude. I don't care much for that crowd. I mean, you know, I'm glad Jesus loves them, but I like to meet somebody that, you know, a man needs to be a little bit strong. He don't have to be so strong he can't scratch his back, but he needs to be strong. The Paul said, I fought a good fight. You want to see me? You want to fight with me? Get me. Talk bad about Miss Alicia a little bit. I'd fight you right now. I'd pick Easton up and whoop Luther with him if I had to. Paul said, I fought a good fight. Now, you'll be fighting. You're fighting mad for your Jesus sometimes. I heard somebody tell me, I won't never argue over the Bible. I said, well, I will. If you're going to be sorry enough to attack God's word, boy, I'll let you have it both barrels. Now, I understand like Brother David's devotions, where some people have different opinions, and opinions aren't always, you know, they're like rear ends. Everybody's got one. They all stink. Amen. But I'm not going to fight you over an opinion. But man, like this crowd that wants to attack the Word of God, that gets on my last nerve. Paul said, I fought a good fight. I'm fighting for lost people. And one of these boys, I can't remember which one it was, talking about trying to win the lost. We have to fight. I think it was D. I think it was. About witnessing. That's a fight. But he said, I finished my course. So I'm fighting for myself. You know, the devil's after me. The devil attacks my family. Well, I got a fight on my hands. My mental battles and spiritual battles. I know Miss Alicia no doubt spots things that she doesn't tell me everything. And I fight things that probably I try to keep her out of a lot of times. But man, when push comes to shove, I'm glad she's in my corner. That's a fight. It's a fight to sometimes, you preachers going to learn it sometimes. It's a fight to study. It's a battle. You got to fight yourself. I got to fight the devil. How many of y'all have ever had to fight the devil? I mean, not your husband, the real devil. Amen. The real one. Miss Marie was like this. She didn't know what to do. But, man, the devil gets after you, don't he? I mean, I've had him get in my mind. I've had people tell me that I said stuff that I did not say. And I said, I can't help it what the devil made you hear. Right. I know I didn't say it. No, I heard it. Well, it wasn't me that said it. It must have been the devil. Yeah, fight that old booger. He's horrible. I fight for faith, the faith. Earnestly, the Bible says, contend for the faith. Fighting for my family. I think, I know some of you fellas, hopefully you feel the same way as I feel, but I think I've got the best wife in the world. I think I do. I think I got, I tell him all the time, I've got the best son in the world. I'm proud of him. Then cometh the, you know, then God blessed us. Now we've got Kaylee. Well, I'm proud of her. I love her. You know, what she's been through and how God, you know, just to watch her now is amazing. And I think they're worth fighting for. I think, David, I hope you think the same about your bunch. I know Easton gets on your nerves. And now you got Emlyn trying to date boys. And we got nip Barney Fife, nip that in the bud. Amen. Can I get an amen back there?
Amen.
That's right. I'll give y'all names if you want them after a while. It's these kids either love me being on the hill with them or they hate it. But man, you'll fight for your family. Listen, you'll fight with them. Sometimes you need to fight for them. You know, don't let the devil just have your family. Don't let the devil rule over your... I like what Dee said, when him and Marie have battles, and sometimes they'll grab, hold hands and pray. Well, that's a fighter right there. That's a man fighting for his wife, and that's a wife fighting for her husband. Man, that's a blessing. So I'm fighting for my family. I'm fighting for my calling. And I tell you boys, and I tell you this seriously, that from the moment I announced that God had called me to preach, it's been a battle ever since. I've now been in this thing for a long time, as Brother Dave would say. I'm old. I'm now one of the old preachers, Miss Leslie. And I don't like it, but it's the truth. I can tell you this. The fight's just as real today as it was when I was 19 years old. And now how old am I, 49? 30 years of fighting. I just bragged on you, shush. 30 years I've had to fight the devil almost every day of my life. Just to keep preaching. And there was times I was lost. If God hadn't sent reinforcements, I would have lost it. Not my salvation, but my calling. So you're going to have to fight. See, Paul says, I fought a good fight. I finished my course. See, we can't afford to become entangled again with this world. You can't afford to stumble because people are watching you. Whether you're a preacher or not, people watch you, but you preachers need to know this. People watch you a little closer. See, I gotta run. Right? It's a race. I have no option, Brother Jesse. I have to run. Gotta fight. Why? Because I have to finish. And I think over an accident, Paul said, I'm finished my course with joy. So when I leave this world, I don't want to leave like, you know, miserable. I want to leave kicking my heels up. Yeah. Amen. Let me ask you a question. A couple questions. Where are you going? How hard are you fighting? And how fast are you running? Are you beyond the veil? Or are you satisfied just to be? Jesus loves you this morning. If you're lost, remember, your road to hell you're not guaranteed it's going to be a long road. You're just guaranteed it's going to be a broad one. I'm sure in hell right now there are people in here younger than we are. I'm sure there's somebody in hell younger than you. Probably the only one would probably be, I don't see her, with babies running around here. She got her head. She's asleep. Don't bother her. But she might be the exception to that. Maybe Mia and Ev, some about that age. Boston. You know, I don't know exactly. You know, the age of accountability is different for everybody. But for the rest of you, I'd almost promise you there's somebody in hell younger than you are that would trade places with you in a heartbeat. And you sit in church house this morning, making your mind up, you're going to reject God's calling. You're not even going to listen to it. See, we live in a world where Satan tries his best to destroy our focus. And one of the worst things that we've ever done, the cell phones. Satan gets you right here, and that's all you see. It's all you hear. And you won't listen to the fact that your trip to hell might not be very long. You know, so everybody in my family lived to be 100 years old. You might be the first one to not make it. Where are you going? I told you where I'm going. I'm told you where I'm going now. I'm going to go worship. I'm going to go get beyond the veil. And I'm going to finish. When I do leave this world, I either want to do two things when I die. I want to die shouting or die fighting. That's my goal, Brother Jeff. I don't want to die. I mean, it'd be funny for a minute. I don't want to die after I fall down the steps. I mean, that'd be horrible to have to call Mark and you know. Guys, I've been near death. I remember when I worked at the DHHR, and we can cut the videos and all that now. Remember when I worked at the DHHR?